When a body turned up next to an Alaska highway, the police had an idea how it might have gotten there. An SD card had been found just days before with photos and videos that documented the end of a woman's life. Did he do it for the fame? This is the story of Brian Stephen Smith and the two Indigenous women he filmed himself murdering. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. When I first started researching this case, the first thing that hit me was that I've already done a video about a murder that happened near here just a few weeks ago. You don't forget a name like Beluga Point in Anchorage, Alaska. Today's story began on October 2nd, 2019, when Anchorage police responded to the call from Seward Highway at 9:14 a.m. Human remains had been found by railroad employees near Beluga Point. No one knew who the woman was. But they soon realized she could have something to do with the memory card that had been found a few days before. On September 30th, a woman had called the police to say she'd found an SD card on Fairbanks Street near East 13th Avenue. It contained 39 photos and 12 videos documenting the end of a woman's life. This woman was filmed being beaten by a man spewing expletives at her, kicking her in her private parts, stepping on her throat. Her lifeless body was then taken to a truck on a luggage cart. The woman who found the memory card said she recognized the carpet in the video as belonging to the Town Place Suites by Marriott in Midtown. The card was labeled Homicide at Midtown Marriott. At first, investigators thought maybe it was all staged, but then they realized the remains found along Seward Highway could be the woman in the video, and they realized that they recognized the voice of the man committing the crime against her, too. Some of the photos showed part of a license plate, and it was that same man's license plate. His name was Brian Stephen Smith, and the 48-year-old was being investigated for another crime. Police weren't saying what that was, though, but thanks to a warrant for his cell phone records, they were able to confirm what they already assumed. His phone pings put him at the spot where the remains were found moments after the last picture of the woman was taken. He had also stayed at the Town Place Suites on the day she was believed to have died. He had beaten and strangled 30-year-old Kathleen Jo Henry. Smith was arrested at the airport coming back to Anchorage from a family vacation on October 8th. He was charged with murder one. And then on October 18th, he was charged again. This time it was for the shooting death of 52-year-old Veronica Abouchuk. She, too, had been brutally killed and dumped along the road, Old Glen Highway. She, too, was a petite Indigenous woman. She, too, had been without a home from time to time and had battled addiction. It seemed he had a type, maybe the type no one would come looking for too hard. Smith was indicted by a grand jury on 13 felonies, including tampering with evidence and sexual penetration of a corpse. Police believe Kathleen was killed on September 4th at the hotel after substantial physical torture. When they arrested Smith on October 8th, he not only admitted that he was the man on the SD card, but after a lengthy interrogation, he told them about shooting another woman in 2017 or 2018. Smith was able to identify the woman as Veronica from a photo, and evidence from her open case did show her skull to have a bullet hole. Her body had been found on April 10, 2019, by some people out foraging for food. Authorities believe she had been murdered in August 2018. Smith was originally from South Africa and had just become a U.S. citizen just days before he was tied to these murders. KTUU reports that neighbors say he and his wife of 5 years mostly just kept to themselves. His wife was over 20 years his senior and had worked for Homeland Security. At the time of his arrest, she said she was horrified that he could be involved and wanted to look him in the eyes and ask some difficult questions. Smith was a maintenance man for Marriott Hotels and had come back to Alaska to begin work at a residence inn when he was arrested. His wife had stayed behind in the Washington, D.C. area on the family vacation. Anchorage PD detectives found her and began questioning whether she had ever picked up women for Smith, where she was on such and such date, etc. It seemed to her that they'd been looking at him for a while. She said she'd never suspected anything and wouldn't defend him if he was found guilty. Jury selection began in February 2024, and jurors were asked questions like, would you leave a movie if it was too graphic? And have you seen some trials where people commit serious crimes for notoriety? They were preparing potential jurors to see videos of a naked Kathleen being beaten and strangled in the hotel room as Smith laughed and told her to die. Smith had pleaded not guilty to all 14 of the charges against him. Before his trial began, he wrote an 11-page letter to KTUU News complaining about the Department of Corrections reading his mail and the source of the SD card being untrustworthy and his ex-girlfriend being killed before she could become a witness. Apparently, his ex, Alicia Youngblood, provided the police with information about Smith before he was arrested. Then she took her own life in July 2021. But Smith wrote that the Anchorage DA's office is famous for threatening and coaching witnesses and implied that her death was at their hands, which strikes me as odd because it sounded like she would have testified for the DA against Smith, if anything, so why would they kill her? I also found it especially blood-boiling that Smith wrote that he reported this information to the PD but got no reply because Alicia is Native, so no one cares. And I, of course, agree that we need more focus on Indigenous women's deaths, but it would also be really helpful if this guy would stop killing them. In her opening statement, the prosecutor described a game of cat and mouse between Smith and his victim, how he would strangle her and release Kathleen, strangle and release her again. He would say, "You live, you die, you live, you die." In his interview with police after his arrest, he said, "I'm going to make you guys famous." It was like he didn't even acknowledge his victims as human, just playthings. Smith's defense attorney argued that the videos on the SD card came from a very questionable and still largely unknown origin. Court documents revealed that although the SD card was reportedly found on the ground at first by a Good Samaritan, that was wrong. It turns out that the woman who turned it into police was a sex worker who actually stole Smith's phone from his truck and transferred the photos from it to the SD card. The attorney said that the whole story about how the SD card was discovered had changed over the years, and the woman had lied about it several times. That woman testified on day two of the trial and said that Kathleen's face isn't even recognizable in the video. She said you can hear Smith telling Kathleen that she isn't leaving that hotel alive. She also described how once Smith took Kathleen to the bed of his truck, he propped her up and posed her, like he was playing with a doll. This woman's story under oath was that Smith was getting money from an ATM to pay her for their date when she took the phone from his truck. Then she also stole an SD card from the grocery store. She then transferred the photos to the SD card and labeled it homicide at the Midtown Marriott. To me, this version makes a lot more sense than that she happened to find an SD card on the ground that happened to be labeled in this wildly incriminating way. It also makes sense that she would lie about this to police if she had not only stolen something but was also a sex worker. She said she felt compelled to testify because she knew Kathleen and considered her a friend. But she claims she lost the phone somewhere when she tripped during a walk in the woods.
In the hotel room, it showed her laying on the ground on the rug, and she was like all beat up. I mean, her face was not even recognizable. And he was hitting her and telling her that she isn't going to leave the hotel alive, that he's killing her.
On day four of the trial, the jury saw the videos of Kathleen's death, the blood dripping from her mouth as Smith sang Thunderstruck by AC/DC. He told her, "Sadly, in my movies, everyone dies." On day five, jurors saw Smith's interrogation with police, where he kept saying things like, "I don't remember this girl," and "If I did this, I don't remember." He said basically, "Yeah, okay, it's my truck, it's my voice, it's my jeans, it's my shoes, but so strange, something is blocking this event from my mind." When they showed him photos of the body in his truck, he said he just happened to find the body there and didn't know what to do, so he dumped it.
What would a reasonable person who's never had any contact with the law, as far as I know, right? Mm-hmm. Never had any negative contact with the law. There's video there that would explain it, right? If somebody put that body in the back of your truck, why would you not call it? A reasonable person would call the police and say, "Hey, I found a dead body." What they wouldn't do is wait 2 days, keep the dead body in the back of their car, drive it home, park it in the driveway, and then take it out to a spot and not only dump the body over the guardrail, but take the other stuff that's with her to a different place. What does that look like? And then take pictures of her in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
So nobody else could have done that.
I know. I was the only person there when I dumped her. That's. Your question was, what could somebody do? Normally, I would, yes, just what the hell? I'd run from the police.
Okay, but this time you didn't. Why?
Because I had been with a girl, and if I had to bring this up, it would come out and my wife would find out that I did. But stick with somebody.
On day six, jurors heard the end of that police interview when the questioning was all but over and Smith was using the restroom while a state trooper chaperoned him. It was then that he admitted that he had killed the woman who turned out to be Veronica. This is when he said he was going to make the police famous. It feels to me like he wanted to keep the spotlight on himself, or he figured that if he was going down for one crime, he might as well get credit for the other. Smith said he picked Veronica up outside a grocery store when his wife was out of town and took her home. But she smelled bad, so he demanded that she shower. When she wouldn't, he simply killed her where she sat, on his couch. He said he felt no emotion. He couldn't even remember what she looked like, but he remembered her unusual hairstyle. That's what made the authorities show him the photo of Veronica that he identified as the woman he shot.
I don't remember, I can't visualize this girl, but I went to the garage and I got my little pistol there. And I said to her, go shower. And she wouldn't. And I just did it.
Oh, she was on the couch?
Yeah. I just did it. I just shot her. There was no... The messed up thing I could tell you honestly, there was no emotion now. That was just, you're not listening to me, go shower, you know?
Smith's lawyer said, though, that nowhere in the recording does Smith admit to remembering killing Kathleen. Smith only says he believes he did it based on the evidence the police have shown him. It's kind of an interesting thing for a lawyer to point out. Like, the evidence was good enough to convince the person who might actually have to spend his life in prison for the crime, so it should probably be good enough to convince the jury, right? On day seven, jurors saw Kathleen's small skeleton found along Seward Highway in the fetal position. It was all that remained of her thanks to Smith's torture and the toll the elements take in Alaska. An FBI agent testified that they tracked Smith's cell phone to that area, but admitted that they couldn't tell who was actually in possession of the phone at the time. An Anchorage PD officer also showed how when they pulled up the blue carpeting under the couch where Smith admitted he shot Veronica, the carpet was stained brown and red underneath. It was found to have Veronica's DNA on it. The jury was also shown photos and videos Smith had taken of her body on that couch. On the final day of testimony, the jury saw texts between Smith and another man, Ian Calhoun, in the early morning on the day Kathleen was killed. Smith said, "I have something to show you, something I can't keep for too long." He asked the other man to meet him at a secluded spot after work. The other man texted later and said he wasn't up at the time, but it sounds like Smith had fun. Smith replied that he did have fun and wanted to share, so that's gross. Unfortunately, this other man invoked his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself and didn't have to take the stand. I wonder if the police are looking into him, too. In closing arguments, Smith's attorney argued that the woman who turned in the SD card was a comfortable liar. He said the families were never called to link the bodies to the women in the photographs on the SD card, so it's unclear if they're even really Kathleen and Veronica. He said Smith only confessed because he had been interrogated for 8 hours. The jury, on the other hand, deliberated for less than 2 hours. On February 22nd, they found Brian Stephen Smith guilty of all 14 charges. Smith's physical torture of Kathleen prompted the jury to agree that there was also an aggravating factor to the murders. So he'll be sentenced to a minimum of 99 years in prison. The sentencing is scheduled for July 2024. I want to remember Brian's victims, but I'm afraid we don't know too much about Kathleen Henry. Kathleen had recently served jail time for an assault and posted on Facebook that, by far, life is best with freedom. She said she dropped out of school at the age of 14, but later went on to earn her GED while she was locked up at the age of 23. She called herself a tough Alaska chick. Veronica was a mother to one daughter and had a large extended family who had last seen her in July 2018. Her sister had tragically died in 2005 when she was beaten and left underneath a picnic table in an Anchorage park. Her case has never been solved, but at least Veronica's was.
Oh, I love you.
Tears are not what Veronica Abouchuk would have wanted for the people who cared about her. Her family remembers no matter what was going on, Veronica was generous with her smiles, generous with her love.
She was full of life. I grew up with her as a child, and she just, very sweet lady.
When she disappeared sometime during 2018, Anchorage police issued a missing persons bulletin.
We didn't know what to think. We were hoping a better outcome.
Then came the grim news she'd been murdered.
It was scary. We've always wanted the best for her.
But between her birth in 1966 and now, she was so much more. And that's what her family wants Alaskans to know. A big sister, seen here in the village of Stebbins with a hug for her brother, Bernard. A proud member of the class of 1985, seen here on her high school graduation day with that beaming smile her family talks so much about. And here again in 2006, happy to be out having lunch with her sister. An adoring mother and grandmother, seen here spending tender moments with her grandson in 2011.
She loved her kids.
Her sisters liked to visit her, as here during Christmas 2014, when they dropped in to spread some Christmas joy. Other times, it was a treasured moment out shopping, like on this day, strolling through the deli aisle. A woman who treasured family and whose family treasured her.
She loved everyone. I really miss that.
As for Brian Smith, he met his wife, a folk musician, while the two were gaming online. She wonders how she missed the signs that he was capable of crimes like this, but says he was a good husband to her. He made her a ukulele by hand and built her a greenhouse. He gave her his mother's wedding ring when they were married. He had owned a guest house in his native South Africa and wanted to own a hotel in the U.S. too. She called him a night owl who loved tinkering with gadgets like his drone. When the police questioned her about what she thought he was doing when he was gone, she just thought he was working. I'm so curious if she ever saw anything of the bloody stain under their living room carpet or if Brian did too good a job cleaning it up. Just after Kathleen's body was dumped, Smith was seen on security video going through a McDonald's drive-thru with a woman next to him, and I wonder who that was. It doesn't exactly look like his wife to me, but who knows? But one thing I found unsettling is that, at trial, a detective talked about a phone call Smith made to his wife from jail. In it, she asked if he slept with the women he killed, and he said, "Not with those two." It's not only a pretty big admission from him, but it also seems like a weird question for a wife to ask. It's like, I can forgive the murder, but I can't forgive the cheating. She says she won't file for divorce because, quote-unquote, I said my vows. She says Smith's heavy drinking led to his problems and that she'll visit him in prison. So what do you think? Did Smith do it for the fame? Not only did he record his terrible acts, but he admitted to one of them unprompted, like he was proud to talk about it or wanted to make sure people knew he did it. The fact that he treated the women like dolls and said he was going to make the cops famous for his case makes it seem like he's totally detached from the horror of what he did. Thank you to KTUU, Alaska's news source, for the fantastic reporting. I'm always delighted to visit their website because most of the news stories are about sled dogs and, like, a young moose giving a man's car a wash with its tongue. Thanks again. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.